40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Marseille, where France will host world champion Germany Thursday evening in what should be a cracker of a semifinal at the European Football Championship. The winner will play Portugal Sunday in the final at the Stade de France, just outside Paris. Our Voice of America football fans will remember the French lifted the World Cup on home soil in 1998, and they have two European titles, winning in 1984 and 2000. And the host country appears to be hitting peak form at just the right time. France spanks surprise package Iceland in the quarterfinals 5-2. Meanwhile, Germany is coming off a hard-fought 6-5 penalty kick victory over Italy. The Germans ended 54 years of misery against the Italians at major tournaments, prevailing in one of the wildest shootouts in European Championship history. Germany's left back, Jonas Hector, converted the 18th kick to clinch the win. The Germans are looking to follow up their World Cup title from 2 years ago in Brazil. That was their fourth World Cup championship. And if they win this evening and again on Sunday, they'll also have four European titles. In Euro 2016 action Wednesday, Real Madrid superstar Cristiano Ronaldo led Portugal into Sunday's final, scoring the opening goal and setting up the second as Portugal beat Wales 2-0 in Lyon, France. 5 minutes into the second half, Rafael Guerrero floated across to the far post and Ronaldo soared to power in a thundering header. And check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page to see a great photo of Ronaldo rising to hammer home that header. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And 3 minutes after Ronaldo's booming header, Portugal doubled its lead with Ronaldo serving as the creator. A headed clearance from Wales center back James Chester fell at Ronaldo's feet, and his low right-footed drive into the box was skipped over by Renato Sanches, but then converted by Valencia winger Nani. Portuguese fans celebrated after the victory in Lyon. They're hoping to see their national team win its first European title and redeem its 1-0 loss to Greece in the 2004 final in Lisbon. Meanwhile, Welsh fans had nothing to be ashamed of. Wales was making its maiden appearance at the European Championship, and the Welsh advanced all the way to the Final Four. Let's listen in now to these Welsh fans outside the stadium in Lyon.
It's a mixed emotions. I'm, you know, tremendously proud of Wales, how far they've come as a nation. It's been amazing, absolutely amazing. But I'm gutted. I mean, you can't help but be gutted, lose like that against Portugal. You know, I'm just proud.
We were proud to come this far. We've done really, really well. So that's why you can see the fans are so happy.
That's why we don't want to go home.
We don't want to go home. But we've had a brilliant time. It's brought everyone together. It's put Wales on the map, and it's absolutely brilliant. So.
Singing and dancing and cheering. Well, those Welsh fans, they don't want to go home. They're ready to party even after that loss to Portugal. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with an update on the Wimbledon tennis tournament is Sunnyside of Sports reporter Jonah Haskell. Sporty greetings, Jonah.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. We now know who the 2016 Wimbledon women's finalists are after the semifinals wrapped up on Thursday. World number one Serena Williams breezed through her match with unseeded Russian Elena Vesnina 6-2, 6-love in a match that took a grand total of 49 minutes. Serena hadn't expected such an easy match, and she's thrilled by her performance.
I'm very happy, and I was really focused today because I know that we've had a lot of tough matches before, and, you know, especially on this surface, I knew that she could really bring it to me, so I was ready.
Serena Williams will be looking to win her seventh Wimbledon title and her second in a row, but she'll have a tough task ahead of her. Serena's older sister, Venus, was hoping to join Serena in the final for the eighth time at a major, but Venus fell to German four-seed Angelique Kerber 6-4, 6-4 in the semifinal. Kerber has never reached the Wimbledon final before, having previously been stopped in the semifinal stage in 2012. Kerber and Serena Williams have played seven times in their careers, with Serena holding the edge 5-2. But Kerber was the victor the last time they met when she captured her first major title in the Australian Open final earlier this year. The women's final will be played on Saturday. Meanwhile, on the men's side, the semifinal field is set after the quarters were played on Wednesday. Eight-time Wimbledon champ Roger Federer will be in the semis after an epic match with Czech player and nine-seed Marin Cilic. The match began with Federer falling behind 2-0 and ended with the Swiss legend storming back to win the next three and take the match on an ace. While Federer played great, he admits he may have gotten a little bit lucky.
Ooh, it's a big battle. Clearly, I mean, it's great winning matches like this, you know, coming back from 2-0. It's rare. So when it happens, you know, you really enjoy them. Definitely felt like got lucky to some extent today, always, when you're saving match points or, I don't know, when you're down 2-0, 3-3, love 40. It's just, it's a moment where it's not in your control anymore. But I fought, I tried, I believed, and I got it done. So it was great on so many levels.
It truly was a great match, and hopefully we'll get one of a similar caliber when Federer faces Milos Raonic of Canada in the semifinal. Raonic, the sixth seed, beat American Sam Querrey in 4 sets on Wednesday to advance. And that's no small feat, as Querrey is the player who eliminated world number one Novak Djokovic over the weekend. Expect him to give Federer a good fight. On the other side of the bracket, 10 seed Tomas Berdych beat Frenchman Lucas Pouille in 4 sets to reach the semifinal, where he'll face 2 seed and hometown favorite Andy Murray. Murray had a tough match against 12-seed Joe Wilfried Tsonga in the quarters, as Murray quickly went up 2-0 before dropping the next two. But Murray put it back together in the 5th set, secured the win 6-1, and is happy about how he dealt with the adversity.
I think there's many things that go into winning matches like that. There's not one thing that's more important than another. Obviously, you know, physically you're strong, then that helps for sure. But, you know, mentally, you know, you have to, you know, today was a tough match. It would have been easy to have gotten very down on myself in that 5th set after, you know, the way the 4th set ended it. So I was happy with that. And then you also have to be able to play good tennis in the most important moments. And I think both of us did that today.
Andy Murray will be looking to win his second Wimbledon title if he does reach the final. The men's semifinals will be played tomorrow on Friday, and the final will take place on Sunday. Reporting for the Sunnyside of Sports, I'm Jonah Haskell.
In Olympic news, the United States is holding its Olympic track and field trials this week in the northwestern city of Eugene, Oregon. Eugene is nicknamed Tracktown because of the city's passionate support of athletics. Tracktown is also the name of a new film, as we hear now from reporter Tom Bonsi.
Tracktown, the movie, is set in the city, now emblazoned with Tracktown USA banners. It tells the story of a young Olympic hopeful, convincingly played by an actual Olympic hopeful.
Is running, like, your job? Like, you get paid?
Not in college, but once you sign with a pro team...
Between running scenes, Alexi Pappas' character unexpectedly finds herself with time on her hands on a forced rest day. A romance blooms at her favorite Eugene Bakery.
I can't hang out today.
What? Just skip your nap and skip stretching and...
Pappas co-wrote and co-directed Tracktown, as well as starred in it, all while also developing as an elite professional runner. She says the creative work of filmmaking is a great counterbalance to her running. Unfortunately, the 26-year-old could not attend the local debut of her cinematic love letter to her town and its running community. After spending several weeks at a training camp in the mountains of Greece, she's now in Amsterdam to compete in the European Athletics Championships. Because her grandmother emigrated to the U.S. from Greece, the American-born Pappas was able to get dual Greek and American citizenship. That's why the Greek Olympic team could invite her to represent Greece in the 10,000 meters at next month's Rio Olympics. Pappas's real-life boyfriend and filmmaking partner, Jeremy Teicher, represented the two of them at the sold-out Eugene premiere Tuesday.
There's a real convergence of life imitating art and fiction blending with reality at this screening in particular.
Teicher says the idea to make a movie about life as an elite runner was born soon after he and Pappas relocated to Eugene, she in 2012 and he the following year. The 27-year-old Teicher previously directed several shorts and a feature film, also co-written with Pappas. Tall as the Baobab Tree, which came out in 2012, was the first international feature performed in Pular, an ethnic language spoken mainly across West Africa.
We thought, well, what's a story that only we can tell? Because in independent film, especially today when there's a lot more films being made, I think that's really important. And so, of course, when you're thinking like, okay, well, we have access to this community of elite runners in Eugene, and it's this really special location, like, let's tell a story there.
Avid track fans may recognize luminaries of U.S. distance running who ended up in their movie.
Don't worry about him, he's nobody.
Well, actually, that is somebody. Two-time Olympian Nick Simmons.
I basically play a similar version of myself, just a guy sitting around drinking beer in a pool. So that's pretty much my part. Typecasted.
Simmons is just one of a pack of former or soon-to-be Olympic runners making cameo appearances. For him, the film resonates as a coming-of-age story more than as a running tale. Fellow two-time Olympian Andrew Weeding of Eugene also appears briefly.
I think if anybody's ever taken the time to just go out for a run in general, they've been lost in their own head for just a few minutes or hours, however long, you'll have some bit of this movie that you'll be able to relate to.
After the Eugene premiere, Tracktown may play at some upcoming film festivals, and the producers have hired a film agent to get wider distribution any way they can. Teicher jokes, our secret goal is that there will be tour buses in Eugene one day, taking you around to the locations where we shot. For VOA News, I'm Tom Bonsi in Eugene, Oregon.
The National Basketball Association's free agent signing period this week has been wild and crazy and very, very lucrative. Joining me now to talk about it is Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Hi, Sonny. Nice to be here. It's like the NBA season never ends. We were just talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers winning the championship, it seems like yesterday.
Some of the big names, we'll get to them, Dan. But first, why are the contracts this year so big compared with past years?
So the previous few seasons in the NBA, the salary cap, which is the amount that the maximum amount that teams can pay their combined players, was in the $70 million range. And this year it jumped to $94 million because of the new TV deal that the league signed with some of the United States broadcasters 2 years ago It finally is going into effect for this year. The deal was for $2.6 billion per season, which was almost double the old deal, which was $930 million per year. If you compare that to the big deal in European soccer recently is for the Spanish La Liga, which is $3.25 billion for three full seasons. We're in the middle of that. So the NBA basically is just below what Spanish soccer is getting for 3 years. The NBA is getting for 1 year. It's pretty amazing to think about the huge numbers of zeros that are being thrown around.
Dan, one of the latest stars to switch teams is Dwayne Wade. D. Wade is going from the Miami Heat, where he spent 13 seasons, to the Chicago Bulls. Were you surprised by that move?
Well, Wade has made his career with the Miami Heat, and he's an iconic player for them. The Heat was an expansion team not too long ago, and Wade was an important member of their championship 10 seasons ago in 2006, and of course, a key part of the triumvirate with Chris Bosh and LeBron James that won two titles not so long ago. I mean, Wade is on the back end of his career, and he could have gone out as one of these historic players that had played his entire career with one team, but he decided to go back home to Chicago where he grew up. And I don't mind that decision. I mean, we'll see whether he has much left in the tank, whether he's going to play for Pride in his hometown for a couple more years before retiring. So I'd say give him a chance and we'll see what happens in Chicago. He's got a good scorer with him, Jimmy Butler. He's got a new teammate, Rajon Rondo, who signed as a free agent. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Chicago this season, because they did lose Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, and Pau Gasol.
Dan, the most coveted free agent, Kevin Durant, and he signed for $54 million over two seasons. He's going from the Oklahoma City Thunder to the Golden State Warriors, the 2015 NBA champions. KD getting some criticism from more than a few folks, Dan, including Charles Barkley, who said that Durant took the easy way out in going to the Warriors. Your thoughts?
I mean, it is an interesting move because it changes the balance of power in the NBA, especially in the strong Western Conference. It pretty much eliminates Oklahoma City from contention. And as you remember, Oklahoma City had a 3-1 advantage in the Western Conference Finals during the playoffs. And so they were basically one or two shots away from making it to the championship series. Durant going to Golden State. It'll be interesting to see how that works out. If you remember, we were talking about this at the end of the NBA regular season, that Steph Curry was so good and so efficient with the way he scored that many analysts were saying he could take 10 more shots a game and Golden State would be an even better team. So now you have a player coming into the mix in Durant who's going to demand the ball a lot more, and it might actually reduce how many shots that Curry can take. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Dan, a couple of the African players who were free agents, and they both signed some big contracts, Bismack Biyombo from the Democratic Republic of Congo and Festus Ezeli from Nigeria. How about some details on their moves?
So Biyombo came into his own during this playoff series against Cleveland with Toronto and found a spot for himself as a defensive player who can be an intimidating presence in the paint. He decided that he was going to focus on that part of his game, and it definitely paid off. And he's getting a 4-year, $72 million deal to go to Orlando. We're not sure exactly how Orlando is going to put this team together. There are a lot of questions about what's going to happen as to whether he's going to fit in with Serge Ibaka, for example, who's a new arrival to Orlando as well. But Biyombo obviously paid off by focusing on just playing defense and getting rebounds. That worked out for him well. And Festus Ezeli, we don't know for sure where he's going to go. I know he had a visit with Portland, so he's definitely not going back to Golden State, but it hasn't been decided if he's going to accept a deal with Portland or not.
Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department. And have you been covering that story at Learning English, Dan?
Well, we haven't been focusing too much on the NBA right now, but we have been focusing on the Olympics. We have some interesting Olympic-related stories coming out at VOA's Learning English website, especially a story about three Taekwondo athletes from Ivory Coast who qualified to go to Rio in August. So if you're somebody who wants to pick up a little bit more detail on English, definitely head to learningenglish.voanews.com to see some of our sports-related content.
Thank you, Dan. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. How are you?
I'm doing well, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, we'll start where we were just talking about Dwayne Wade. This was something that kind of went all over social media. In fact, how I first found out was on my mobile phone. I got an alert, and I was with two friends, and I showed it to them, and they just went, "What?" And I think that's generally the reaction of social media. Of course, Miami Heat fans very sad to see Dwayne Wade go. But a lot of people noting, hey, it's the power of the hometown team. He's from Chicago. He wanted to go back to Chicago to play for his hometown team, and he's going to go do that. So a lot of reaction to that and anticipation for what this season will bring with him in Chicago.
Pat Riley, of course, he kind of heads up the administration with the Heat. I imagine he's a little sad to see D-Wade depart.
He's sad, and the fans are not happy with Pat Riley. They're saying that he kind of dropped the ball on this one, so to speak, and he could have done more to keep him there and didn't. So the fans are not pleased with Pat Riley.
Wimbledon tennis heating up in its final stages, Andrew. Is Wimbledon trending?
Absolutely. The women's final is set. Unfortunately, we will not have that sister match that we were talking about between Venus and Serena. Venus losing to Angelique Kerber, Serena winning handily over Elena Vesnina, so it'll be Serena Williams versus Angelique Kerber. This is a rematch of the Australian Open this year, which Kerber won in kind of an upset. Serena has a great record in the finals. I think she was 21-8 going into that Australian Open, something like that, and Kerber was able to win. So a lot of attention on that match. Very funny, many people pointing out that Serena handily beat Elena Vesnina 6-2-6 love. And then this afternoon, they're playing in the doubles. Venus is playing with Serena, and Katerina Makarova is playing with Elena Vesnina. Serena and Venus took that first set, a close set, 7-6. So we'll see if they can pull it out. Makarova and Vesnina are number 4 in the doubles in the world. Serena and Venus are number 248 because they haven't played doubles in a while, so their ranking has fallen quite a bit. So even though Venus is out, there's a lot of attention on Serena in the singles, and there's going to be a lot of attention on them in the doubles if they get through this quarterfinal match and into the semis and even into the finals.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that Facebook photo of Cristiano Ronaldo rising up for a rocket of a header, and I had quite a few comments just remarking on his remarkable ability in the air to convert some of those passes into goals, but truly a phenomenal player, Andrew.
Absolutely, and it's a lot of attention as the Euro Cup begins to wrap up as they go through this next semifinal between France and Germany, and we'll see who Portugal will be playing in the final. But all eyes on Ronaldo, all eyes on Portugal, and whoever they end up playing, it's going to be a good match, I think. Social media is eagerly anticipating that, and we're going to see some good stuff from that. We're also going to see, going back to Wimbledon for just a second, Twitter launching its first live stream of Wimbledon. You know, we talked about in the past on the show, Twitter using this live streaming technology to show sports. Well, they did it for the first time with some Wimbledon matches. Wouldn't be surprised if maybe they pulled a rabbit out of the hat and did it for the Euro final. Maybe not this year, but certainly in the future, we're going to see more of those matches on Twitter. So that might be the destination. You don't turn on the TV anymore. You go log on to Twitter, and that's where you watch all these matches take place.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the July 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Yeah.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Today, the world is witness to the greatest refugee crisis since the end of the Second World War, said U.S. Permanent Representative to the United Nations, Ambassador Samantha Power. And because it is global in scale, anything less than a global response will fall short of addressing it, she said.
Yet rather than spur a united front, a united effort, the challenge of mass displacement has divided the international community and even individual nations, leaving the lion's share of the response to a small number of countries, stretching our humanitarian system to its breaking point and putting millions of people in dire situations at even greater risk.
Obviously, the best way to resolve the crisis is to address the conflict, violence, and repression that is forcing people out of their homes. But in the meantime, we must do more to help, not only for their sake, but for our own security and stability. First, we must meet the vital needs of refugees in the present. Here we are coming up far short, said Ambassador Power. We are seeing record shortfalls in providing essential humanitarian assistance. In 2015, the UN requested approximately $20 billion to provide life-saving aid, only $11 billion of which was funded. This year, the $21 billion that the UN is seeking is less than one quarter funded. And second, we must offer refugee or resettlement to the displaced. By relying on a few countries to bear a disproportionate share of the cost of the crisis, the lives of many refugees are put at risk and may fall prey to violent extremists and members of organized crime. In recognition of the urgent need for all countries to do more, President Obama is convening on September 20th the Leaders' Summit on Refugees on the margins of the 71st UN General Assembly. In addition, the United States is also taking steps to increase our humanitarian aid to refugees and increasing the number of refugees we will resettle in the United States. We call on our friends and partners to follow our lead for the sake of the displaced and the global community.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impuga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Voice of America's Daybreak Africa. Join me Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC for the latest in Africa news, features, and sports. We are also available on the internet at www.voaafrica.com. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show on the Voice of America.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one, Ajaja. This one, Ajaja.
Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.